Good morning, gang. How's all the families? Did you get out there and see that? That's good. Let's just pray one more time before we start, can we? Father, as we come together today and kind of an odd, maybe we could even call a special message, we pray that you would lead us, that you would guide us. Again, we thank you for the direction you've given us over this past year, and may you lead us as we are now rapidly approaching 2009, Lord. Here we are, still 2009. And may it be a time and a year that even despite perhaps economic issues, struggles out there in the world, that it will not be so here in the hearts and the minds of those in this fellowship. We love you, Lord. We praise your name. Amen. It's been my practice for the past few years to take an opportunity as we either near the end of the year or at the beginning of the year, depending on how our calendar falls, just to take some time to give what I guess I would call the State of the Church address. And I do that because I want everyone in this fellowship to realize that we are a body of Christ and that what we do together. So as we do this today, it is an opportunity, I guess, for me as your pastor to reflect upon this last year. To not only reflect upon the past year, but to share with you my vision for the coming year. For the extended future, really. I want to begin this morning by telling you, first of all, that all in all, I am quite proud of all of you. I guess that I have to tell you that you have blessed me to the fullest, allowing me to pastor what I think is the greatest church on earth. And maybe you'd expect me to say that, but if you're the greatest, it's not because I'm your pastor, but I just want you to know that I am proud to be your pastor here. You're my family. I am a rich man this morning for the time that I have been able to be the pastor of this church. I want to thank you for all the Christmas cards that I have received as of late. But even more than that, I want to thank you as a body of Christ for your constant emails, your cards, your personal remarks, your personal words that you have given me in support over this past year. I almost feel, you know, kind of funny to even bring up the issues of any difficulties and hardships I might have in the ministry, because I got to tell you, at least where I'm coming from, it's the greatest job in all the world. But it is, in truth, not an easy job always. It can be quite challenging. It can be quite frustrating at times. It can be very difficult. And again, I'm not complaining. I don't want to do anything else but this. But it is good to know you're there. I have many pastor friends who do not have the support of the congregation that I have. And they're all deeply envious, and they'd kill to have two or three of you guys in our church. And here I am being able to have an abundance. So you're all very important to me. And again, I want to reiterate that today as we begin this message, because this involves all of you. We've always been, I guess, what I would call an outward-looking fellowship. It has always been the goal of this church, the direction of this church, to be an outward-looking church reaching out to a lost and dying world outside the walls of this building. But I also want to be very careful that we do not look so far beyond that we fail to be attentive to the maturing of the faithful family that is here in our midst this morning. Unless we, as a body of Christ, remain strong, we remain growing, we can never expect to have any effect upon those outside of these walls. Words are cheap. It's easy to be able to say these things. But they look at our lives. And unless they see the joy, unless they see the peace, unless they see love, commitment, discipline emanating from our lives, there's really nothing there for them really to even want. We're often fond around here of quoting Proverbs 29:18. And that verse says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I've always held on to that verse. We have held on to that even as a leadership of this church. We have believed and held strongly to this idea. And really the idea that church fellowship must always be moving forward. We need to be forever tweaking, if you will, our methods, our goals, and our priorities as a church fellowship. And in doing so, we remain fluid. We remain flexible to the Lord's leading. And that is very, very important in an age where churches can kind of march on until they really become quite hardened and stuck in a rut. And you know, far be it for us ever to ever murmur those faithful words, "Well, we've never done it that way before." That could get you stoned around here. But we do have a vision. We must have a vision. We need to have a vision of where we have been. And what was right about that, as well as what was not, and where we need to go from here. We must always stay, I guess I would call, a moving target. We need to be a moving target. Harder for Satan to pick us off, I think. Staying out of the ruts that seemingly continue to entrap churches even today in legalisms, in blind repetition, religious self-indulgence, and that certainly describes the modern church here in America today. Proverbs 20, verse 18 says that plans are established by counsel. I want you to know that, you know, a little bit about what is going on behind, I guess, closed doors. A lot of the things that go on in this church, many of you never see or not even aware of what is happening. But I want you to understand that I do not lead this church alone. You have, again, what I consider to be the finest elder leadership a guy could ever ask for. Throughout the year, this church elder-led board gathers weekly, every Wednesday, before the Wednesday service, for a minimum of 2 hours. And in those 2 hours, we pray together, we discuss how best to be used to further God's kingdom, how we can be used to further God's kingdom, particularly in this small little corner of the world called Dunn County, Wisconsin. We've always promised ourselves, and it was a difficult promise to adhere to, but we've always promised ourselves that there would be no endeavor, no ministry, no possession that this church has that would be spared from the cutting floor if God so directed, or if that possession or that endeavor failed to further God's kingdom. You see, sometimes that's a hard and bitter pill to swallow, especially if it's your ministry that you're involved in that gets cut. But you know what? By adhering to that policy, God has kept this church uniquely on the forefront of ministry. We're on the field. We're in the game. Even today, still fighting for the souls of men rather than becoming comfortable in some sort of churchy, lethargic malaise that, you know, this is what so terribly plagues the Christian church in America today. We, again, are so blessed that we have not had to deal with that kind of lethargy. We have taken upon ourselves the call of Christ that He gives His disciples in John 15, 16. And He says that He has appointed us to go and bear fruit and that our fruit should remain. It's John 15, 16, if you're taking notes. Again, He's appointed us to go, bear fruit, and that our fruit should remain. Where to go? Go and bear fruit. Not just any fruit will do. It has to be fruit that remains. Fruit that lasts, hopefully for eternity. And we could make it our priority this morning as a church to feed the hungry, house the homeless. We could seek after a state-of-the-art praise and worship band. We could be the cutting edge of children's ministry room amenities with all the latest gadgets and toys and teaching utensils. We could spend our funds on every creature comfort and every bell and whistle out there. Or we could minister outward. We have always chosen the latter. We have not veered from that course, nor, God willing, will we ever. Luke 14:23 says, "The master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.'" That's us. That's us this morning. If you're a guest here today, you need to realize that I really couldn't give you a more of an apt description of what is the focus and the nature of the ministry of this church. We have taken on the mantle of this passage. We have avoided the modern beaten paths of the religious world. We have done everything we can to shun that soft theology of an ever-changing new and modern world. Instead, we have sought the old ways that God has prescribed from creation. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, that you will find rest for your souls." Now, if you're new with us today, or you haven't been around here much, you may look at this bunch and it's like, I don't see this church as being into the old ways at all. Where are the hymnals? I mean, where's the pastor? I mean, give me a pastor. I don't know who this guy is up here, but this guy obviously isn't the pastor. And you look around, they got the stained glass, but, you know, where's the suits and ties and the Easter dresses and all the dress up that we do in churches today? And in those trappings, I will gladly admit, we have none of. But doctrinally, theology, we shall not be moved. I ran into an old friend this week. Got to talking about God things. You know, and there's always a little bit of the, I guess, curiosity in the fact that a pastor would look like I do. I always tell him, you know, I'm a closet Baptist. Down in here, quite conservative when it comes to Scripture. It's just that the method in which we minister still remains on that path, the old ways. I, and many of you know who attend here, I grew up in the holiness movement. It's hard to get that out of a man. We have indeed went out to the highways and the hedges. We have sought new converts and new commitments to Jesus Christ. We have always had little interest in stealing from Peter to give to Paul. You know, go down and try to steal another church's congregation. I have no desire to do so. We will not build on another man's foundation, as it says in Romans 15:20. We know who we are here in Menominee. Certainly we aren't for everybody. But for many of you that are here today, you will say, you know what? This church may not be for everybody, but it's the only church for me. And that includes your pastor. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So he begins and says, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem." And our Jerusalem, of course, is Menominee, and maybe even to the extent of Dunn County. One of the ways that we have witnessed in Jerusalem is our ministry in the local county jail. Now it's been over 10 years. Man, it seems like we just started that yesterday. I think Rich was with me that first day we walked into the old jail. Many of you that are here today are the fruit that remains. Such ministries as that will always be in the front of our ministry portfolio, if you will. We currently minister in the Dunn County Jail, the Pierce County Jail, Red Wing Boys Correctional Facility, and now with our gang up in Superior, they're in the Douglas County Jail. Why? Because the fruit is good there, surprisingly good. God certainly has made some changes in that ministry for us over the past year. Took me a while to understand what He's doing. I think I got a clear picture now. But we remain actively involved there, and we will stay in that ministry just as long as that door is open to us. Probably would be the last outside ministry in this church that we would ever stop doing, is the jail ministry. From the very first day that I walked into this church, and there was, I believe, 6, maybe 7 people there that day, this church has always had a heart for the campus that God has placed in our backyard. Pastor Dave, my pastor before us, started that. Certainly it was not hard to get on that bandwagon. So much of a commitment to that ministry that we have an assistant pastor here who is committed by this church primarily to spend his time directed at our ministry at the UW-Stout. Our ministry down there is called Street Level Ministries, and it is an official campus organization. It was just a nightmare to make that happen, but it was worth it, and that gives us access down there. And now Pastor Tom, for over 10 years, we were trying to figure this out last night, it's been at least 10 years also, that Tom and Street Level have given their lives to a generation of young adults. Many of those young adults, again, are here. They're adults now. They're not so young. And they're still with us. And we have always ministered down there because, gang, if those individuals, that age group is not reached now, the odds of them ever coming to Christ decrease dramatically once they get out of college. Thus, again, this church will always hold the college ministry in the highest level of priority. Through the years, from time to time, there's been kicking and screaming over this church's priority to the college ministry. And usually it comes from those who desire to have the focus upon themselves. Well, they're always doing stuff. That's Street Level. It's always the college kids. It's always the college kids. Yes, it is. I say so unapologetically, and as long, God willing, that I'm standing behind this pulpit, it always will be. We have a habit of going to a church and then trying to change it. That priority will always be there. It doesn't mean that if you're not of college age, you're not of value, we don't love you, we don't want you. But let me tell you something, that college will always be a focus. God didn't put us 2 blocks from that university by coincidence. We're here on purpose. In an effort to continue to nurture the small group dynamic that is so needed here at Jesus Fellowship, we have over the past couple of years begun, I guess, a very aggressive challenge to meet that need. It had to do with reformulating really the whole structure of the church. Paul relates to this need, Romans 1, verse 12. He says, I'm eager to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. In this way, each of us will be a blessing to the other. I have no interest in pastoring a church where I do all the talking, where I just come up and I'm always preaching and you're just going to sit out there and listen. You guys have enriched my life so much with your experiences, your views, what God has spoken to you in Scripture. And each and every one of us can be also enriched in that same method. In the old days, it was easy. We had an old storefront downtown. We had the coffee shop. You know, we'd all go hang out there and do weird coffee house Bible studies. And those were the days where it's kind of just avant-garde on all aspects of the church. And we now kind of need to schedule it, certainly because by the size of the church. But just the same, it's very, very important that we continue to have that smaller group dynamic. Today, we have an active couples ministry that's led by Pastor Jason and his wife Rachel, and the singles ministry led by Pastor Steve and Charlotte. And these ministries really have become a very, very large part of this church. These ministries are finding their own missions endeavors, their own local ministry, their own local service, in-group discipleship, fellowship. they have continued and will continue to take more and more of the center stage here in this church. They will be our small church within the larger church dynamic. This church continues to grow larger and larger in size here on Sundays and Wednesdays. So we need to have that. Now, it is my hope, frankly, that one day this church will also have such a small group fellowship for the older adults attending this church. And really, the only thing preventing that from happening is the corporate desire to see it happen. When that day comes, we will form that kind of a fellowship to meet that need. But I will tell you right now, if and when that happens, that group will only be a part of this church as far as a corporate arm of this church when it takes on the whole mantle of discipleship. Faithful service, study, missions, outreach, fellowship, the whole thing. I'm not interested in, let's get together and have a card club. If you want to do that, great. But not as an arm of the church. So someday when we have that kind of commitment, we'll make it. I'd love to see it happen. In the meantime, we focus on the younger because they want it and they're committed. In 2009, we will also continue with the impact studies. If you're not regular here, our impact studies are once a month, first Wednesday of every month. We have small group Bible studies. And they are in homes, and they are taught by all the other pastors of this church, the elders of this church, as well as a few other school of ministry grads that have that gift of teaching. We had 9 last year. The way it looks this year is we will have 10 because those small groups continue to grow. But those small groups have the intimacy. We meet in homes. It's an open format study. It's an opportunity for you to share what God is doing with you. It's an opportunity for you to go, you know what, I don't get that. For you to go, why? How come? I don't understand. And it's totally fine in that type of a situation. Years ago, we did it once every 2 or 3 months, I think. And it has come now that the first Wednesday of every month we have them. If you're interested, by the way, it's not a commercial, but if you're interested and you're not assigned to one, you can call the church office during the week and we can make sure we assign you one. The only reason we assign them, just so we don't have 40, show up at Pastor Jason Gilbert's house. It's like a phone booth. You know, push in. He's small. He can fit in there. This year, we have decided to take on what I believe is a timely topic. And so for 2009, we will have a very in-depth study on the issue of sanctification. As we move now into 2009, I have no doubt that we will be taking on a difficult economic year. Each year that passes, we move a little bit closer to the end of the age. And as we do so, it's going to be harder and harder to be truly set apart for Jesus Christ in a world that not only does not know Him, but if they do, they despise Him. And so we have to decide on which side we will stand. The term sanctification means to be set aside for the sole and exclusive use. And in this case, sanctified, the sole exclusive use of Jesus Christ. Some of you, know that term well. You live it out every day. One of the critical needs in this church also this past year and into 2009 is the need to increase the focus upon the youth of this church. The Lord put this on my heart last year, and since then we have been doing all that we can to seek the things that God would have us do with the youth, to seek the direction He would have us go. We spent 2008 moving forward in this area. Starting January now, we're going to execute what I hope to be the next phase of our youth group ministry. And that is that we intend, starting January 1st, to split the youth group back into two. The older group, which is age 9 through 12, I believe. Is that correct? Grades 9 through 12, yeah. Age 9 through 12. Grade 9 through 12. This will be the older youth group, and they will be led by Andy and Laura Dyer. And really, to a great degree, they're going to be led by themselves, which is the way it should be. The younger youth are going to be led by Brian and Laura Harnish, who they have been leading our youth group for a number of years now, and they have done a wonderful job. We couldn't have done it without them. Now, that age group is going to be from age 6 grade through 8th, with one kind of special note for this year. Normally that will be the 6th grade to 8th grade, but this year we are going to, on a one-time basis, and there's reasons behind our madness, but we're going to reach down and pick up the 5th graders too. So, providing for parental decision on this, that from starting next week, the 5th graders will join that group. I know they're probably really discouraged about that, the 5th graders, aren't they? There's a lot of very, very serious effort and planning going in to our youth focused in 2009, but I really covet your prayers as well as your participation. There's going to be need for not only the youth leaders that we have, but a lot of assistance along the way. It's really going to take the whole church to make this work. There's going to be need for chaperones, assistance along the way, especially this summer. Andy and Laura will be gone for the entire summer because they have their internship to do in the Philippines. So for 3 months, they'll be gone. So those will be the opportunity for others to step forward and to serve in this area. So please be in prayer on this. This is very, very, very important that we make this work. Now, also, here in this church, and especially if you're not attending here regularly, you may not realize that one of the great blessings that we have in this church is in the area of technology. I'm old, okay? I know. Shocked, aren't you? When I was in high school, a computer filled a room. And you said, "You have computers when you were a kid?" Yes. Okay. So, but since then, now things have obviously changed, and they've changed very fast. But we in this church have got a lot of technological people in this church. And because that has happened, God has directed us often to a certain area. We're blessed today to own and operate a radio station that we're literally broadcasting over right at this minute. That radio station plays alternative Christian music, teachings during the week, as well as our live services, Wednesday and Sunday nights. And I believe they, do they play live street level? Yeah, street level services are also live from down on campus. So God has blessed us. I mean, what a great, great opportunity, great thing to be able to have our own radio station. Our services also have been video-wise on cable TV in Chippewa Falls and in Eau Claire for a number of years. So with that happening, and then also there is TV and radio ministry going on in the Philippines. Our own radio station, which I'll get to in a moment in the Philippines, as well as I announced a couple of weeks ago that we're now, these services are now on, I believe, 4 hours a day, every day, on a station that is just north of Toledo City. You know, I question everything I say because I wonder if I lose them, in all the slang that I use. But with all these things going on as far as video and audio, the challenges here are great. We also have an enormous, what I would believe to be a state-of-the-art media supply that's on our webpage. You can go there and, I mean, it just goes on forever. We have in-house pastors on there. We have a multitude of pastors from outside, Calvary pastors, and just good teachings and good videos and all kinds of stuff there for us. I tell you all of this because I want you to know, first of all, that we have some incredibly faithful ministers in this area. I mean, it goes on day and night when you are unaware about the work that goes on to take care of this. I mean, just to produce one of these videos for the services, and you got to render it all down, and then that goes to cable in Eau Claire and Chippewa. But then you got to dub in a bunch of Cebuano and then ship it off digitally to a radio station, a computer up on top of a mountain in Cebu Island in the Philippines, and then it has to be brought down to a DVD and then set all out again. I mean, it's just phenomenal. The radio station in the Philippines is primarily operated from here by satellite DSL. We just reach right across the world and into that radio booth. Can turn on a camera. I can see if anybody's in the room. We can take things out of the computer, switch things. I have a telephone number that I can dial up with my computer and listen to the radio station being broadcast. Not as it leaves, but actually as it's received in the Philippines. I mean, that kind of technology for an old man like me, that's kind of mind-blowing. And I tell you that again, what faithful servants we have. How blessed we are to have that kind of thing going on in this fellowship. That's the benefit, by the way, of having a bunch of college kids. Most of you is like, what's an iPod? You know? Can you help me with my phone? There's going to be some changes in this area. Some advancements. CSN Radio, which used to be Calvary Satellite Network, a couple of years ago ceased to be a Calvary Chapel entity. You may or may not know that. It's not something that they advertised heavily, but it's no longer Calvary. And with that change, there was a lot of format change also. And we have supported the Menominee CSN radio station and the Eau Claire CSN radio station for a number of years, and we feel that it's time for a change. In the past, too, we have done a lot of mass mailings. That, too, is going to change. Now, I've never been a pastor who has embraced slick marketing and demographics and all that kind of stuff to build a church. I always felt that God built a church. But we do feel that we need to let people know, you know, Jesus Fellowship is here, what we're about. We need to make that invitation. Let God take care of the rest. So in doing so, we need to reach out through today's communicative media. Now, we're already doing that in many ways, as I just described. But this year, through a lot of inquiry, through a lot of research, we've decided to, I guess, take our technological abilities to the next level and to seek a broader TV medium through smaller network TV. So now that may sound extremely aggressive for a church our size to be doing commercial spots on network TV, but you know, we found out after looking into it that it's surprisingly affordable. So we're going to be, through the large help of Pastor Justin up in our Superior church plant, as well as our youth group. They don't know it yet, but they will. We're going to be doing a lot of preparation and putting the word out there. And I'll let you know how this goes. And if it doesn't work, to the cutting floor. But we're going to keep going and keep trying. Again, the Superior Church, Justin's heading that thing up. He's got that creative, I don't know what you'd call it. Y'all saw his video the other day. Wasn't that nice? Oh, I got to tell you something, too. I sent that video to Londo. Now, for those of you that missed it, you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But Londo is the pastor we work with in the Philippines. He's never seen snow. He has no concept. I always put on my cam on my computer. I'm talking to him and flip it around, show it out the window, you know. And it just freaks him out. It's just like, run away. Run away. What are you doing there? So I sent him that. He didn't quite get the humor in it, though. He was like, oh, that must be very hard. Oh. Like, yes, brother, it's very hard. So anyway, the media ministry in this church is going to continue to be an increasing part of our outreach, the increasing part of our discipleship here. We're going to continue, even to a greater degree, using video educational and teaching tools for our youth, as well as those of you that attend on Wednesday night. You know, you've been seeing more of that in 2008, and you're going to see more of that in 2009. Also, so that you can hear somebody else's voice, not my voice, droning on all the time. So we're going to be doing more of that in 2009. Gang, I do all of this because it's very, very critical, as I've already mentioned when we began this today, that we continue to grow spiritually as a group and independently. We cannot stop. There is no rest. There is no plateau. Paul said in Colossians 1, 9 and 10, he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom, in all spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful," there it is again, "being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God," increasing in the knowledge of God. Because, gang, we need to know not just what we believe in this church, but why we believe it. The youth today, they know what they believe. They just don't know why they believe it. The only reason, if you ask them, why do you believe it? Well, because my parents told me that. Or because, well, my church told me that. I'm sorry, that's not enough anymore. Thus, we will continue to hold that kind of very direct ministry in the highest regard. And one of the ways we will do that is School of Believers here, the School of Discipleship, and the School of Ministry. Each of these schools, along with many of their own activities, they meet each morning, early, before this services. Acts 1:8 again said, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem," and he goes on and says, "in all Judea and Samaria." Now, our Judea and Samaria would be our church plants. Just beyond our borders. New Richmond is one, and the other is Superior. Gang, let me tell you, in these places, and, you know, we have Rich and his family here this morning, and the Superior guys may actually be watching us. I don't know. But let me tell you something. These people that are working in these places are battling what I think perhaps may be the greatest challenge of their lives. We trained them through the School of Ministry to the best of our ability, but let me tell you, what they have must come from God, must come from within them. And Satan, no doubt, is going to try to stop them at every front. Now, we are going to back them with our finances, but we need to back them with more than just that. We have to support them with our prayers. Because let me tell you something, it's that front that will be win or lose. We can dump all kinds of money in those church plants, but it will come to nothing if God does not want this to happen and that we as a church do not perfectly unite behind them. We need to come alongside them. We need to seek for God to bind the power of the enemy, to allow those efforts to go forth. Many, many souls are at stake here. It's easy to kind of forget about them because they're, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But we need to make sure that we support them in every way we can. Some time ago, I ask many of you to maybe think about going up on a weekend and supporting the Superior Church. And again, I would encourage you to do that. They'd love to have you. You know, middle of winter in Superior, Wisconsin is not a really good time to try to build a church. People don't leave their houses till like May. Okay? You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. And our end of the earth is played out in various places. Over the years, we have financed the construction of 3 different churches in India, which all so far have made it through the recent turmoil and the fires and the ransacking. And that's pretty amazing because 2 of them are in Orissa, which is where all that was going on. But our major focus in this church has always been in the Philippines. God has given us a huge ministry there, getting bigger, it seems, all the time. In the Philippines, our work there is called Shofar Missions. And Shofar Missions Philippines is now a nonprofit incorporated entity there. We have our own Filipino board, corporate board there. Tom and I are on the board, but the other 3 members of our 5-member board is Filipino. We have our own Filipino attorney. We have a security guard, Thomas, and his family living on site. We have a security guard's house, and they live on site and to keep the place. And if you've ever been to the Philippines, you'll know why that you have to have a security guard for whatever you own, or it will be gone tomorrow. We have Edwin. Edwin is our radio engineer who is up and takes care of the hands-on radio work that goes on there. And just the fact that he's even there is a miracle of God because, you know, this would be where we planted Shofar on the radio station is sort of like the Wheeler version of the Philippines. I mean, you're out there, okay? And what a class one radio engineer was doing in Camp 7 living. I had the foggiest idea, but he was there. And not only that, born-again Christian. He's now not only working for us, but he's a member of our corporate board. So he's invested. This past year, Street Level Ministries moved their missions focus from India to the Philippines. I was done a lot for the sake of the females. It's very difficult for me to take single females to India. Invariably, when I've done it in the past, I got a lot of questions asked. I mean, ladies, you're just thought of a little differently than you are in America. Not only that, it's very expensive, it's very difficult, there's visas, there's a lot of complications, and there's giant spiders. It's like, that's enough, right? So, with what God is doing in the Philippines, Street Level now moved their focus to the Philippines. Church took India. And with that happening, that has brought a lot of changes. A lot of new financial support will be coming from Street Level to the Philippines endeavors. Already, there are short-term Street Level teams of college students that are being planned already now. I think the first one, they're looking at summer of 10, so a year from the summer. And Pastor Tom will be leading those short-term teams, and they'll be focusing primarily on concerts in remote areas. We have a whole sound system there now. We carried that thing all the way over there. Well, I didn't. That's why I take students. We carried it over there, and we're set to do. We work with Filipino bands, do multimedia ministry, video ministry out in these very remote areas, and it's awesome. So Street Level is already focusing on that. Now, Street Level or the School of Ministry will also continue to do long-term work over there. They'll continue to do their summer trips to minister and complete what is their missions internship. One of the last project that you have to complete to get through the school of ministry in this church is 3 months of ministry in the Philippines. Now this summer, the O'Garas are going, even though they're way beyond graduation. The desire to go was there, and so they were allowed to go, and Andy and Laura is going to be going also. So keep them in prayer as they prepare, because the work has long ago already started, financially and all the rest. And so they go over for 3 months. And what they do while they're there, teaching in the public school system, working with the jails, and doing discipleship teaching, and working in the radio station there that we have. We have a 1,000-watt FM radio station on top of that mountain after an enormous amount of testing. Let me say that again. An enormous amount of testing on my part. As we stand here today, praise God, that station, I almost hate to even say it, is stable. It's running, okay? There's a couple things we'd still like to do. We're kind of waiting to put that money down. But the problem is it sits on top of one of the largest copper mines in all of the world. Put a nearly 200-foot tower on top of a mountain, on top of a copper mine, has a small little problem. It's called lightning. And then you get the prince in the power of the air who's controlling that lightning, who hates us. And I mean, he was cooking transmitter after transmitter. I mean, you have to be in that building when lightning strikes. You feel so close to God. Let me tell you. So in that work that's going on there, we it's incredibly blessed. And recently we heard by email from the next island over. And a guy emailed, took him a while to find us, and he emailed just to say that he's listening to us loud and clear. He even sent us a little MP3 clip. He recorded it off. So it came all the way. It traveled all the way to the next island, was recorded, and then emailed all the way back here. So imagine reaching the entire Cebu Island as well as both islands in either direction. Negros to the west, Bohol to the east. The future of the Philippines holds a great deal for us, gang. We've only just begun. We're pursuing our desire to build a new church there nearby Shofar. Londo, Pastor Londo's church has really grown enormously in the past few years. And I don't think it has anything to do with us. I think it has to do with his faithfulness. And so he's got a packed house. This church has already bought that church more chairs twice. Because he's like, hey, Tim, we're out of chairs. We got people sitting in little kids' chairs. So it's like, okay, brother, we'll buy you some chairs. What a good problem. What a good thing to have to buy somebody. They need more chairs. But you need to understand, for those of you that know that were there, years ago we laid the floor of his church there and done a lot of work. But that part of the mountain there keeps slipping. So the building keeps cracking. And there in the sanctuary of the church there, it's got a huge crack in the wall right now. And they don't really even own the land anyway. The mine owns the land. And so we have a dream to be able to build a bigger and new church for them. And they live, well, now they kind of moved to a building off behind the church, but they've always lived just in the back of the church. And it's very small for his whole family. So we want to build a bigger church. We want to build it closer to Shofar. Up, if we have our way, there's a piece of land in Camp 7 that we want pretty bad. We're praying for. Beyond that, we also want to begin a Christian school there in which we can minister to young people. Education is not mandatory in the Philippines, and if you do go, it'll cost you. So if you're poor, you're out. And the poor usually get the least education. If you've got some money, you can send your kids off to the better schools. So we want to start a school there, a Christian school, I guess, to kind of run toe-to-toe with the Catholic schools. The country of the Philippines is extremely Catholic. We want to teach them not only reading, writing, and arithmetic, but English. We want to teach them biblical education. It would mean hiring at least one teacher, which we'll pay for. But then it also provides an opportunity with this school to send young missionaries from this church to go over for months at a time to serve in our school as assistants. Right now we're working in the public school system. What did you guys work in? Three schools last year? Four. And the doors have been open, religious training. We've been able to go into the public schools and minister, and it's great. It's an incredible challenge. I mean, they'll dump 300 kids on you, and they can't speak any English. And we, you know, can't speak enough Cebuano. You know, I think we can say, sit down, shut up. Can you say that? It's an important thing to learn. Andy, you better write that down. Yeah. But we want to be able to start our own, and we are making initial overtures this year to the local school board to perhaps get our foot in the door even before we build a building. Those of you that have been there, we have an interest in Upper Camp 8 school. Now, if you recall, in the presentation they showed, that was the one which our team painted that school this year. And Laura put new lettering on it and everything. But Upper Camp 8 school has, how many kids? Huh? 30? Right now, these are the poorest of mountain kids. There's no electricity in the school. It's just concrete bunker. There's no water or nothing there, is there? No. So it's pretty much the least appreciated school. And in that, we have this crazy, crazy idea. They've had school there. They stopped. They started again. We're going to send a letter to the school board, and we're going to say, tell you what we'll do. Give us that school, and we will run a school for you for free. We'll pay for your teacher. We'll put electricity in a school. We'll upgrade it. We'll run Upper Camp 8 school for you, but we get to teach Christian education, and we'll just run the whole thing ourselves. Will they go for it? Well, in this country, you'd say, no way. Philippines, it's a 50-50 shot. So pray for that, all right? If that's not God's will, we don't want it. But it would give us a chance to begin ministering in a school setting before we ever build a building. And we could get our feet wet. But the ultimate goal is to have somebody living in our Shofar Mission Center year-round. We have 5 acres there, 2-story missions building, a truck, motorcycle, water, 2 bathrooms. It's sweet. So we want to be able to use it to its fullest, to our fullest ability. Gang, here at home, we are going to continue to prepare for growth. Yes, growth in numbers, but more importantly, growth in spirit. We're going to continue to reach around the world for the kingdom of God. This summer, we are going to take our first team into Haiti. Again, God has put Haiti upon my heart, and we're going to go in there as a missions team to minister, but we're also going in there, you know, as a blatant reconnaissance team, I guess, to hopefully soon plant Shofar Missions Haiti. God will show us when we get there. We've never been there. So we can pray for that too. I think that team is scheduled to go roughly in August. We have short-term and team leaving, long-term team leaving at the end of May to the Philippines, short-term team leaving the Philippines around June 1st, and then the Haiti team leaving for Haiti in August. It's going to be a busy year. Just to give you an idea, this church, and this is not meant to brag, this is meant to show what God has done with you. Last year, this church spent $38,000 on missions. $38,000 from a bunch of burger flippers and college students, and $38,000. That's not going to change. We could pay the staff more. We could pay off the church faster, though it isn't too far now. We could do a lot of things. Or we could continue to minister. Again, gang, God told us that we are appointed to go and bear fruit. I think that's important for us to remember. We are here to bear fruit. As we go into 2009, it's very important that we resist all temptation to begin to look inward. And trust me, this is the big downfall of churches, is they start out with the best intentions, but pretty soon they start looking inward, and they exist then only for the comfort and the entertainment for within. Those of you that attend here, you know that this church is not always the easiest fellowship to belong to. The public out there is difficult because oftentimes even the church going public can be just as bad. They're highly suspicious of any church that participates in such dramatic life transformations. When they see some of you that drugs, alcohol, jail, marriages disasters, families disasters, financial disasters, they see that and then see someone so dramatically transformed, that gets the world suspicious. But I need to say for the record today, it's not this church. That's just Christ. We believe that Christ does and can change a man or woman. And He does so profoundly in our midst all the time. Certainly calling oneself a Christian, calling yourself a member of Jesus Fellowship, for whatever that means. There's no membership here anyway, but that comes with an accountability. It comes with a responsibility. And you know what? In that, I am unapologetic. I have never set out to build a big church. This is already beyond anything I ever imagined was the future of this fellowship. And because of that accountability, because of that responsibility, some will not find this church their home. But God has called me as your pastor to be attentive to those within this church, not what others want us to be outside of this church, but what God wants us to be. Revelation 3:2 says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain." That's my job, to strengthen the things that remain. Now, if you're not normally with us today, I appreciate your patience as I give this today. But I tell you all these things because I want you to always know that the unity and the cohesion of this body of Christ, this is the success or failure of this church. And that's what it's all about, gang. We're not here for entertainment. I'm not here to make you feel good, feel, you know, self-affirmation, feel all positive about yourself. I'm here to train the troops that we may go forth to win souls for the kingdom of God. And you know what? We have precious little time to do it. There is no time for us to be distracted by the world and the idolatry that's out there, and it's only going to get rougher and rougher, which means we have to get stronger and stronger. Lastly, I ask for your prayers. I know many of you pray for me faithfully. many of your children pray for me faithfully. I promise you, it makes a huge difference. I need to remain disciplined in my own life and consistent, always moving forward, because I know a church will not grow any further than the pastor is willing to grow. So I need your prayers. The leadership needs your prayers here. That's what this fellowship is about, as I've given it to you today. We've already come so much further, as I said, than I've ever dreamed. But yeah, we're still alive. We're still here. And so we continue. And we continue to move forward. It's a full house today. Lately, it's even been fuller than it is today. That's why the doors open up into the gathering room now and the balcony's open. Because we need the seating. That's a good problem. Maybe Londo can buy us some chairs. Payback time. But I would want us today, as we end this year, to realize how very blessed we are. It's so easy to take the things we have for granted, family and friends, even this church, and to forget that what we have here is very uniquely special. Not better, not the only way, but special. We have done things and saw things and touched areas of ministry that churches four times this size would covet to be able to do the things we do. I mean, there's entire denominations that are seeking to start one radio station in a third world country. And the only advice I would give on that is, I don't know, some narcotics? I don't know. You go down that road. I had hair when I got into this. Now I'd do it all again. It was challenging, but what a great thing to be able to minister in that way. So we have much to be thankful for here as we close 2008. And I hate to sound like our new president, but things are going to get worse before they get better. So we better dig in. We're Christians. We can make it. We've got God behind us. And perfect love casts out all fear. We need to take care of each other. Watch out for each other. Support each other. Pray for each other. And trust in the Lord, who knows everything you need before you even ask. Amen? Let's all stand.